Labor Day is the unofficial beginning of fall. No more wearing white. Actually, we don't toe the line on that one. But soon, no more fresh produce from the garden for some parts of the country. So what to do? What about canning? My cousin Peggy in Vermont is probably one of those saying, no duh. But the idea of canning is daunting for the rest of us. Producer Emiko Tamagawa visited Here and Now chef Kathy Gunst at her home in Maine this time last year to find out how it's done.
Kathy, a lot of people, and I'm one of them, have fear of canning. Like, we're afraid that we're going to poison somebody or something. How do we get over that?
I can help you, Dr. Canning. To tell you the truth, I had a real fear of canning until a few years ago. Some friends of mine have a party every year, and it's a canning party, and it sounds crazy, but it's so much fun. We all get together, we have big pots of water boiling, we sterilize the jar, everybody chops and peels, and we blast music, and it's one really hard, fun day of work, but it's a whole winter of eating.
And so how do you deal with the safety concerns?
It's very important that everything is sterilized. So you boil the jars. You boil your tongs that you use to lift them out with. You boil the lids. You boil the seals. You fill it up with a hot liquid, whether it's a sauce or a syrup or a jam. The Ball Jar Company makes great books, and they're on the internet with all kinds of specific information about how long tomato sauces need to go, how long do jams need to go. And these are rules you need to follow. Everything has to be hot and clean. You don't want to introduce any bacteria into it. But if everything is boiled and sterilized and you're careful, it's really quite simple. You can go to the Here and Now website and see a video that we made this morning where I just picked tomatoes, made a roasted sauce, and we canned the jars. So it's really like two or three very simple steps. And if you watch the video, you can actually see it happen.
The other thing I wanted to know is this idea of which tomatoes do you just pick for canning, which do you eat? And since we're in your garden, I was hoping you might be able to show me.
Sure, let's walk over there. You know, I'm of the firm belief that a good sauce is like good wine. It has a lot of different tomato varieties in it because each tomato lends a specific flavor and texture, and some are juicier than others. For instance, come on over here and I'll show you. I have some huge varieties over here called Black Crin. I have Green Zebra. I have Plum Tomatoes. I have Big Boys, which are a traditional type of tomato. And I also have this wonderful new variety that's a yellow tomato. It's a low-acid tomato. And they're so fabulous. They taste of lemon. It's a very subtle lemon flavor. There's really not a tomato that's bad for sauce as long as they're plump and ripe. The other really great tip for canning is to go to a farmer's market and ask for seconds. These are the bruised peaches. These are the tomatoes that have little black spots on them. They're not perfect. The farmer can't get top dollar for it. But if you tell the farmer, hey, I'm doing some canning. Do you have seconds? I have never been turned down. And they're almost always half price. So ask for seconds if you don't have your own garden, and you'll really get some good bargains.
And this is what you do when you can't look at another tomato because you've eaten so many of them all summer?
Well, I rarely get sick of them, but it does happen. And exactly, that's why I grow so many. Not because I want to eat them all right now, but because when it's 4 below 0 in February and I'm snuggled up under a blanket, I want to open that jar of fresh tomato sauce. Believe me, it makes winter eating so much sweeter.
Okay, you've talked so much about this sauce, I gotta see it. So can we check it out?
Yeah, let's come in. I'll show you all my jars and what we did. Okay, come on in.
Oh my gosh, I see cans galore.
We have been busy here. So these are the results of my canning party that I went to last week. I have about 4 different types of tomato sauce. We roast up a huge batch, and then we do some of it plain, and some of it we do puttanesca. We add chopped olives and capers, add a little bit of spice. Just so you don't think I'm a complete tomato fanatic, we also found some wonderful local peaches and nectarines, and I made peach nectarine butter. And what it is it's like a really simple jam. You just peel the peaches and the nectarines, you put them in a huge pot, you add very little sugar, some cinnamon and ground ginger and allspice, and you let it cook and cook and cook, and all the sweet juices from the fruit reduce, and you get this thick, luscious butter.
Seeing all these different types of things that you're canning, is there anything you think you can't can, like, you just wouldn't taste very good?
The secret to canning well is to either can foods that have high acid, a lot of natural sugar, or they're in a brine, meaning a salt water or a lot of vinegar. These are the stabilizing influences when you're canning. So for instance, you can't just say, can a carrot. It has no acid, it has no sugars. But you could pickle a carrot, and you could pickle string beans, and you could pickle zucchini, and then you would process it in the vinegar. And the vinegar, which has always been established as a way of keeping food, is what keeps the vegetables fresh, and it will pickle it, and it will keep for months and months. So in a way, the answer is you can almost anything, but there are certain foods that are much more adaptable to being canned. And those are the foods with the acid and the sugar or something that has vinegar or salt.
So can we check out the sauce that you made out for the Here Now website?
This is a roasted tomato sauce, and I use those yellow tomatoes I talked to you about. You see how much lighter this sauce is? It's not that deep, dark red. It's got kind of a yellow bit to it. You can see the garlic in there and the herbs. It's got basil and rosemary, sage, oregano, and it's got bits of onions from the garden also. And then I seal it up, and I'll tell you what. Let's open one. This is like letting you have a piece of gold. I hope you're aware of this. Let's open this up. And then this lid, see how tight that is? I'm holding just the lid and the jar is not falling because the seal is completely tight. And you'll see this on the video too. You're listening for a dull sound. If there's air trapped in there, it has a much different sound. And this dull, even sound is what you want. All the jars sound the same when you tap on the top of the lid, and that's a good sign. If you were to hear one that sounded different, it would probably mean that one didn't process and seal tightly.
And if it doesn't seal properly, then you just know that that one you're just not even going to attempt again. You just eat it now.
You're going to put it in the refrigerator. It'll keep for about a week. You're going to eat it tonight, or you're going to eat it tomorrow, and you're going to use it up. Or you could throw it into a plastic bag and throw it into the freezer. So don't throw it out. It's not bad. But after you've canned and everything's sealed and done, you want to test every single jar. You want to make sure that seal is tight. And then you know you're safe. You put it into a cool, dark spot. It doesn't like sunlight. It doesn't like heat. And then they will keep for almost a year. You want to try it?
I would love to try it.
Okay, let me grab some spoons. And now, when I open this, you should hear a slight pop because that will let you know that the seal's been really tight. That's the magic sound. Give it a stir. It's pretty luscious stuff.
Mm. It has a lot more depth to it. There's a lot of different texture to it.
There's so much work that went into this. This all came right out of a garden this morning. It came from the garden. It went into the oven. It went into the jars. It's like you're capturing the garden inside a jar.